May the Lord help us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Let us commence with hymn number 75. Behold the potter and the clay. He forms his vessels as he please. Such is our God, and such are we, the subjects of his high decrees. Hymn number 75.
Thank you. May it please Almighty God to bless the reading of his holy word to the profit of our souls this evening. Let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew and we'll read chapter 18. The Gospel of Matthew and reading chapter 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offences, for it must needs be that offences come, but woe to that man by whom the offence cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Well, so reads the word of God. May God give us grace to walk it out. Let's now come and pray to God for his blessing. Most merciful, most gracious, long-suffering, eternal and holy Lord God, we're thankful that we, as unworthy sinners, can approach unto the majesty on high. Come to that mercy seat. Come to the throne of grace through the merits of thy only begotten Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, gracious God, we pray we may be blessed with access tonight. And Lord, thou wilt look down upon us individually and collectively. Lord, we pray that thy Holy Spirit may indeed descend upon us. And Lord, grant that our time together may be a time of blessing, a time of profit for our souls, and a time when thy great name may be lifted up and honoured and glorified. Lord, we plead that word which said, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Lord God, we are utterly unworthy of any notice. Our sins stand against us. We come, Lord, pleading for thy mercy, pleading for thy blessing. Lord, we gather here tonight, another Lord's Day evening. We realise that without thee, our time of worship will be of no value. And we pray, gracious God, that our time of worship here tonight may not fall into that category. And we pray it may be a time of blessing for our never-dying souls. O Lord, grant that we may have some right and true understanding of the enormous value of our soul. O Lord, give us some view of the vastness of eternity. And Lord, may we tremble to think of spending eternity in that place of destruction, that place of everlasting fire, everlasting burnings, that place, Lord, where there is no escape. Oh, gracious God, come tonight and give us each to realise the value of our souls. And Lord, grant that each one here tonight may truly be bowing down before thee and pleading for thy goodness and mercy to be toward them. And we pray, Lord, tonight, thou wilt reveal thyself unto us as thou dost not unto the world. Indeed, Lord, come, we pray, and say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And Lord, let us not be defective in the value and saving of our soul. Lord, often we find ourselves far off. So often, Lord, our minds are taken up with trivial things. But Lord, we're thankful when by thy Holy Spirit we're able to come and consider our condition before a holy God. And Lord, do grant us the wonderful evidence that we are born again of thy Spirit. Lord, let us not be deceived in the matter of our soul's eternal welfare. Oh, gracious God, we pray then that we may be attentive to hear thy voice, attentive to do thy will, attentive to truly desire to follow thee. Oh, gracious God, we commend ourselves to thee. Lord, help us to really appreciate the great favour which is ours for being able to gather together to worship the great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, to really understand what an amazing blessing and favour this is. To help us, Lord, to realise we could have been born anywhere in this world. We could have been born in a far-off place. Lord, we know we could have been born in a place where there is no gospel. But Lord, through thy amazing mercy, we find ourselves in a Christian nation. We find ourselves, Lord, enabled to come together to worship. We find ourselves, Lord, under the sound of the gospel. But Lord, we pray that these outward blessings may not just occupy our minds and give us a satisfaction which is not founded on a good foundation. Oh Lord, we pray tonight that we may have the wonderful, indisputable evidence that we are in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord God, come, we earnestly pray. Touch our hearts. Deliver us, Lord, from mere formality. And gracious God, grant us reality. Oh Lord, by nature we're very formal beings. But Lord, we pray to be delivered from a wrong attitude, from a sincerity which is not of God. Oh Lord, we pray that it will bless us then, so that we may have cause to acknowledge that thou, the great and glorious Saviour, has looked upon us and loved us with an everlasting love, has laid down thy life that we might possess life. Oh gracious God, then do set our hearts and our affections upon things above and not on things on the earth. Lord, we mourn our carnal mind, our earthly mind. We pray, Lord, that thou would grant the life of God in our soul, which may truly stir us up to earnestly seek to be found amongst those who are in health in our souls. And, O Lord, help us then individually to speak one to another. We remember those words of Malachi. Then those that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and a book of remembrance is written. O Lord, help us to examine ourselves to see whether we come within such a statement or whether we are outside such a statement. Gracious God, deliver us then from a false religion and grant us that religion which is Christ-honouring, God-glorifying. O Lord God, help us to recognise we are here on this earth to bring honour and glory to thy great and holy name. And Lord God, may this be a real concern, a great concern. And we pray, Lord, therefore, that thy name may be lifted up and honoured and glorified. We pray, Lord, for thy people who gather here week by week. We pray that we come amongst them and move each heart by thy Holy Spirit to obey thy word, obey thy law, take up their cross as individuals. Lord, content to be nothing, that Christ might be all in all. Lord, to not turn away from that way which is right, realizing there is a way which seemeth to be right, and yet is a way which leads to destruction. O Lord, may thy Holy Spirit lead each one in the right way, and may they each grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, we look to thee. Thou hast maintained this congregation for many years, and Lord, they've carried on for many years without an under shepherd. And Lord, we pray, if it could be thy will, that thou will grant them that unity of mind and unity of spirit to desire to call one to be their pastor. O Lord, we know thou art able to bring about such a wonderful agreement in these things. And Lord, we pray it may be so, that thou wilt take away all the hindrances. We know, Lord, that the devil is very keen to cause division and separation. But Lord, may they enjoy the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And therefore, Lord, hear the prayers which go up to thee. Thou would appear for them and grant there may be one who, moved by thy Spirit, feels led to come and be their pastor. May they truly be united together under such an under shepherd. Lord God, do then hear our prayers to this end, that the church and congregation may be built up and established in the things of God, and joined together in love and unity. And there may be a blessed outcome that many in this village may be moved to come and worship here. Lord, we know that nothing is too hard for our God. And yet we know thou hast also said, thou wilt be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. We pray therefore that thy Holy Spirit may descend upon them, and Lord, be a weighty burden, that thou would indeed come and show, Lord, thy favour and mercy toward them by granting an answer to this request. Lord, we know thou art able, and oh, we pray, if it could be thy will, thou wilt be willing to hear such a prayer. Oh, Lord God Almighty, bless the people. Grant that through this, thy great name may be honoured and glorified. We know, Lord, the whole purpose is for the honour and glory of God. And we pray this may prove to be a wonderful place of blessing, a watered garden, Lord, where thy honour dwelleth. Lord God, help and bless. We pray for the deacons. Lord, help and encourage them in their labour, in the position thou hast placed them in. Be with them and bless them. We pray for Benji, Lord, in his present condition, and we pray, Lord, thou would continue to strengthen him and heal him, so that once again he may be able to come and worship here. Lord, we know these things come into our lives sometimes. And Lord, we often use that term, an accident, but we realise that nothing is an accident to God. All things are ordained by God. And therefore, Lord, we pray for submission in these things. And may he and the family and the church and congregation desire to see a great and a glorious outcome to this situation. We know, Lord, nothing comes by chance. And so, Lord, we plead then for thy grace and favour and mercy to be with this people. And Lord, we come and we pray for our nation in these critical times, in this election week, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord, the condition and the situation of our nation. We only see, Lord, what the media tell us. We don't know if it's really true or false. But Lord, we can commit our nation to thee, which we would so do, and pray if it could be thy holy will, we may know better days, days, Lord, of honesty from our politicians, that, Lord, those who would bring evil views and evil thoughts may not be allowed to. For, Lord, we know that we have a God who can control minds, can bring about situations which perhaps the members of Parliament never intended. But, Lord, thou art able, because we believe we have a God who is on the throne. And so, Lord, remember our nation. On polling days, it hastens on. And grant, Lord, that those members may be elected who will be moved by thy Spirit to defend our Protestant heritage, to turn away from so many false and evil and sinful measures. Lord God Almighty, our eyes are up upon thee, and we know we have a God who can do great and wonderful things. And so, Lord, we have to come and plead, God, be merciful to us as a nation. Lord God, we pray for our King, King Charles, and the Princess of Wales, both, Lord, with their cancers. Again, we believe these things don't come by chance. And we pray, Lord, that they may have reason, as they do, to consider their position before a holy God. May they tremble with regard to the potential outcome which faces them. May they be found seeking unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. And if it could be thy holy will, grant that they may be found a true seeker, and may thy blessing rest upon them. May they be able to testify Lord, of thy goodness and mercy toward them. Lord, thou knowest, we are to pray for kings and rulers, and Lord, we would desire to do so. We have to confess, Lord, we often are negligent of this. We often forget, but gracious God, help us to continue to pray then for our nation. Lord, look upon us now. Gather with us, we earnestly pray. O Lord, let us not go away empty-handed, but touch our hearts so that we may truly be a worshipper tonight. Bless us, we pray. Forgive our every sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us sing hymn number 15, 1-5. How shall I praise the eternal God, that infinite unknown? Who can ascend his high abode, or venture near his throne? Hymn number 15.
Thank you.
please Almighty God to bless us together this evening. Let us turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, and we'll read the third verse. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, and reading the third verse. And said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. This statement was an answer to a question put by the disciples. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus answered this question very powerfully and very adequately. And we're told he called a little child. And just remember, it was a little child. It wasn't a big grown-up child, a little child, unto him and set him in the midst of them. And that child was the example. And Jesus then said, Verily I say unto you. And he made this powerful statement. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There wasn't really any statement, therefore, about who was going to be the greatest. The question was whether they would enter into the kingdom of heaven. And of course, that should be our great concern. To have the evidence that we will be found in heaven at last. It should be a question, the most important question with us as to where we shall spend eternity, as to whether we will be found in the kingdom of heaven or not. And yet you see how very often we spend our life, as the hymn writer says, fond of these trifling joys. We seem to lose sight of the fact that we possess a never-dying soul. A fact that you and I must spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. To understand that eternity says what it is. It means there is no end. There is no end. It's a good thing if God helps us to consider eternity. And you young people, you children, to think of what eternity means. It's good to just ponder these things. It's not morbid. Some people would say, well, that's a morbid consideration. It's a vital consideration. The devil wants you and me to never think about eternity. He wants us to live as though we were going to be forever on this poor old sinful world and live here. He wants us to occupy our time trying to satisfy the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. He doesn't want us to consider our latter end. Well, if he does, he wants us to make an assumption that it's all right. We needn't worry. Everything will be all right in the end. I've heard people say, well, I hope it'll be all right in the end. My friends, that's a very poor excuse. And it's not adequate. My friends, the Lord tells us here very clearly. The Word of God is very clear in so many places. But you see, for the most part, our eyes are blinded to these simple and great truths. That's what the devil wants. He doesn't want you to understand the reality of Scripture. He wants you to go on your way, deaf and blind, and at last fall into his habitation of eternal hell. Well, we should be very thankful that God in his mercy has given to us his word and shown to us the way of salvation and recorded so many directions to us. And here then tonight, the Lord tells us very plainly, with regard to entering into the kingdom of heaven, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So there's two questions here for us to answer tonight. First of all, have we been converted? Have we been converted? Perhaps you children, young people, say, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be converted? It's a word which is often used, but we need to know what it means. What it means really, that we've been changed. We've been changed from this condition of being dead to being alive. And you might say, well, I'm not dead, I'm alive. The fact of the matter is, we are spiritually dead until we are made spiritually alive. And if we are not spiritually alive, we shall not go to this kingdom of heaven. And therefore, the Lord graciously tells us, except there's no other way. You and I must be converted. We might use another illustration which we find so clearly set before us in the Word of God, and that is, of course, to be born again. To be born again. The Lord Jesus spoke very clearly about this when he was on the earth. You may remember in the third chapter of John, there was a man called Nicodemus who came to Jesus. He came to Jesus by night. He was timid and afraid to display that he wanted to ask a question like this. He came to Jesus by night, but Jesus didn't turn him away. He didn't say, well, Nicodemus, come to me by day. I'm not going to talk to you. He came to Jesus by night and asked the question, Rabbi, and that of course means master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with us. Well, he was speaking to Jesus. Jesus didn't answer that question. We may notice that Jesus set before him a far more important statement. And he said to him, very, very, exactly the same as we have in this verse, verily I say unto you. And when the Lord uses that word, it means it's important. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. And again he uses that word, except. Exactly the same here. Except ye be converted. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now let's be clear. You and I possess a natural life. We all know about that, don't we? We're here tonight because we have a natural life. We can understand it. You young people, you children, understand you're alive today. You have fingers and feet and head and body, and you're alive. We also have a spirit, We also have a never-dying soul. And my friends, we are born with that. And that soul is spiritually dead. It's not born until the Spirit of God comes into our hearts and we are made spiritually alive. So we have two lives, a natural life and a spiritual life. Oh, all of us have been born naturally. Have we been born spiritually? That's the vital question. Well, Nicodemus couldn't understand it. And you and I may not be able to understand it. And especially young people, don't say you can understand something when you can't understand it. Don't be ashamed to say you can't understand it. And to ask advice. Ask advice of your parents. Ask advice of church members. Ask advice of the ministers. Never be embarrassed. Never be afraid. Well, Nicodemus asked the question of the glorious Saviour. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered again in the same form, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You and I will not enter into heaven unless we are born again. When the great and glorious Saviour spoke these words, it wasn't long after he'd started preaching the gospel. One of the early statements that we read of, fundamental they are, important to us. And you and I tonight are here, blessed be God, to hear the gospel. My friends, we could easily not be here. We could be at home watching television. We could be in a club. We could be in pubs. We could be far off. But what a mercy that God has ordained. That means determined that you and I should be here tonight. Verily, verily, I say unto you. And he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. They're separate. What a blessing then to know both. And if you and I are to go to heaven, if you and I are to be found in the kingdom of God, we will know both. We will know both. My friends, don't put these things from us. Don't think it's not relevant. It is very relevant. It's the most important thing that you and I can consider. The condition of our soul. As to whether we are born again. As to whether we are, using this terminology, converted. That means there has been a change, and that change is this, to be brought from that state of death, darkness, into life and light. And so the Lord says, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Clear, isn't it? The devil will tell you it's not very important. In any case, you're young. You needn't worry about it. You can worry about it when you're older. The old must die, the young may. We know not when the Lord will call us from this earth. But my friends, the great and wonderful blessing is to have the evidence that God, Almighty God, has looked upon us and has given us the gift of eternal life. It is a gift. You and I cannot earn it. You and I cannot merit it. It's something that God gloriously and wonderfully and freely gives to us. Oh, my friends, have you and I the evidence that we possess the gift of eternal life, and that we are therefore born again of the Spirit, and we are therefore converted by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts? Or are we in the same position or situation that we were born in? Are we just carrying on? Careless. The majority of the world today are careless with regard to their soul's eternal destiny. That doesn't change the determination of Almighty God. Well, what a great blessing it is to know the work of the Spirit. And the Lord Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and he gives us an illustration. The wind bloweth where it listeth, that means wherever it will. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. It's a good illustration. The wind comes, we don't know really how it's come. It goes past us, it disappears, we don't know where it's gone. And that's the same as the work of the blessed Spirit of God. It comes and it has an effect upon our hearts. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? He couldn't understand it. You may not understand it. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. How many people today don't receive the truth of God's word? You've been sitting in this chapel tonight. You may have sat here on many, many occasions before. Oh, my friends, have you received the word of God that we spoke of this morning? Has it entered into your heart? If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Well, we could continue, but we won't. But there's a statement, you see. For those who are converted, those who are born again in the Spirit of God, and that enters in to our very soul. And let me tell you this. Those who are converted, those who are born again in the Spirit, know within their heart that a change has occurred. They've passed from darkness to life. Darkness to light, from death to life. So this evening, let's ask the question, do you know? Have you the evidence that you have been converted? Or are you just the same condition spiritually as you were when you were born? It's a great question, isn't it? It's an important question because it affects our eternal state. It affects where you and I will spend eternity, not spend our life, spend eternity. And there's no escape from that eternal state. There's no way of coming back. You and I today live in what we term a day of grace, a day of unmerited favour from Almighty God. But when you and I pass out of time, there is no way back. No way back. It's a terrible thought. It's a terrible consideration. But bless God, if he causes us to be concerned, he's put a concern in our heart. If he's put a prayer in our heart, that he will show us that we are born again of the Spirit of God, that we do possess the life of God in our soul, that we are a changed person, that God has looked upon us, he has given us the gift of eternal life. There's no greater gift, no greater gift. If it was possible that God could give you and me the world, it wouldn't compare in value with the gift of eternal life. Let's try and think of that. The gift of eternal life is so wonderful and so amazing and so glorious to think that the Lord Jesus Christ has looked down from heaven upon us, utterly unworthy sinners of the earth. We don't deserve any mercy. We don't deserve any favour. We've sinned against God. We've disobeyed God. We've pleased ourselves. We've carried on aimlessly in this poor old world, more concerned about the vanities of life than the value of our soul. Well, the Lord says, I say unto you, these are the words of Jesus, they're not my words, except ye be converted. That's the first statement. Second is, and become as little children. Little children. Why does the Lord use such an illustration? Little children. Well, if you just think for a moment, a little child is usually teachable, is usually willing to learn. Usually they haven't got preconceived ideas, and therefore they listen to what their parents tell them. Well, my friends, what a blessing if God comes and makes us very simple. We're not argumentative. We don't come and try and justify ourselves. We don't come and put any terms down to God as to what he must do. We come as a simple little child and are willing to hear what God will speak to us, and are willing to listen, and are willing to obey what the Lord tells us. And so what a blessing it is if we have become before God as a little child. We may be an old person. We may be a middle-aged person. We may be a young person. And we may never as yet have become like a little child. But what a blessing if under the glorious influence and work of the Holy Spirit we are indeed made willing in the day of his power to submit ourselves to Almighty God willingly, not grudgingly, but willingly, to come and realize that God, the ruler of the universe, the God who's made us, the God who's created all things, has placed us before him as a little child, and is that God who is speaking to us and instructing us and telling us what we need. Well, what do we need? We need forgiveness. First of all, we need the Holy Spirit of God. to show us that we're a sinner. That we're a sinner. What a blessing it is when God tells us we're a sinner. And when the work of the Holy Spirit is upon us, you won't argue with that statement. You won't argue with God. And you won't say, well, I'm not very bad. I'm not as bad as that person. Because when the work of the Spirit occurs, you and I are convicted as though we stand before God. And we cannot argue against the verdict of Almighty God. We are a convicted sinner. And that conviction condemns us to an eternity in hell. And we need forgiveness. And we need cleansing from all our sins. And we're unable to do it ourselves. We're a desperate, unworthy sinner. We can't save our souls. We can't save ourselves. Oh, my friends, what a blessing it is when the Holy Spirit then brings us to be as a little child. As a little child looks to their parents to guide them, to direct them. So what a blessing it is when you and I look to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we plead for forgiveness. And we plead to be shown the right way. And we come before God, not pretending we're anything, but recognizing we're nothing. And we deserve eternal punishment. You know that I make prayer not just a formality. That will make prayer a reality. And it may be an enormous burden upon your spirit. An enormous burden. It's something you must have an answer to, that you are born again of the Spirit. The Lord has given you the gift of eternal life, and it will bring you urgently to that throne of grace in prayer. It won't then just be saying a few words, perhaps in the morning, and a few words at night, just in tradition, nothing wrong in traditional and good prayers, but this will be a reality. This will prove the reality of your religion. And my friends, you and I don't want to live with just a formal religion which is dead. You and I need a real religion which has life in it. And my friends, that life is a life of God. And so how relevant it is for us to come tonight and recognise the need to come to God with no preconditions. All those things that you may have thought, all those things that you may have tried to stack up, you'll have to dispense with. And you'll stand helpless and naturally hopeless. And you'll be found pleading for mercy, pleading for forgiveness. And what a mercy then when the Lord comes and shows you the way of salvation. Now, let me just say, don't be surprised if perhaps you don't understand these things. Because it may be it was so in my life when I was a young teenager. I remember being petrified at the position of dying and not going to heaven. And I remember my mother telling me, you must pray to Jesus. Fine. Didn't actually affect me. Didn't actually enter in. Sometimes we think, well, this is the obvious thing, which it is. But my friends, you and I need the Spirit of God to enable us to plead and to pray that Jesus may be revealed to us, that Jesus may be to us that one who can save. Jesus does save. Jesus has saved. And Jesus will save. And my friends, what a blessing, what a mercy, then to become like a little child, not with some great vision. Sometimes people expect a great vision. Sometimes people expect to be like the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, struck down with a great light from heaven. Well, don't forget in that same chapter, as I often say, we have the two illustrations, Paul on one hand and Lydia on the other, whose heart the Lord opened to receive the word. What a blessing it is if God opens your heart to receive his word and to seek for his mercy and to seek that Christ might be revealed to you. And when Christ is revealed, we have a spiritual understanding. You know, you may think, well, I should have that. Yes, we might have done. I was brought up to go to chapel. I heard the gospel with my natural ear. I never heard it with my spiritual ears, with those ears which were opened. I never understood the great and glorious truth of the gospel. Well, perhaps you may be in a position like that. You can come to Jesus. You can pray that he will show you the way, that he will teach you the way, that he will reveal himself to you as your great and glorious Saviour. We have a gracious and glorious and patient God who doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve, but in love to our soul, he teaches us and reveals himself to us as though we were a little child. Yes, he brings these great truths of the gospel to our spiritual understanding to show to us that we cannot cure ourselves of our sin. We cannot of ourselves take away our sin. And we know that our sin must be removed. And then to see the plan, God's glorious plan. Oh, my friends, something to rejoice in. Way back in eternity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit agreed that the Father should send his only begotten Son into this sinful world to die on behalf of his church. To die and to take away through that death the sins of his people. Well, you may think, well, that's very obvious. It is when the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And then we see the need there was, and how willing was Jesus to die that we fellow sinners might live. The life they could not take away, how willing was Jesus to give. He gave his life. The scripture uses the word a ransom. There was on your head and my head a price to pay to free us from our sin. And that was a ransom. We couldn't be freed from our sin until that price was paid. There we were, locked as it were in prison, the gate shut and chained. We couldn't get out until that price was paid. And we could not pay it. Jesus came to pay that price. And that price that was required was his death. Nothing less. He had to die in order to save our souls, in order to redeem our souls, to pay that ransom price. And my friends, Jesus, the glorious Saviour, did it willingly. But let us never underestimate the cost it was for you and me to be given this free gift of eternal life. Jesus himself, the only Son of God, came into this sinful world, lived here in this sinful world for those 33 years. And then, you see, was crucified. That most painful death, don't forget. There he was misjudged in the judgment hall. Misjudged because he was judged guilty when he wasn't guilty at all, but we were guilty. And he paid the price to free us. And to think, he prayed then in the Garden of Gethsemane, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He did the will of his Father. And the will of his Father was that he should die, that you and I might be freed from that condemnation due to us because of our sin. Well, my friends, blessed be God. If we're led to Calvary and we realize that on that cross, Jesus, the Son of God, completed that work his Father gave him to do, was able to cry out, "It is finished." What glorious words they were. My friends, may you and I come here as a little child, by faith, God-given faith, to stand before the cross and view the suffering Saviour and see that he died to take away our sin, your sin and my sin. Well, if you and I are blessed with that revelation, we have the evidence that we shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus did not die in vain. He did not give his life in vain. He died to redeem his people. We have those wonderful words in Peter, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, you see the great plan of salvation. Well, my friends, I know not whether you truly understand such great truths. I didn't, but God came and opened my spiritual understanding. And I hope, if that is so, you may have come and gone from this place and never really understood and heard the gospel. But what a blessing it is if the Spirit of God comes and unstops our deaf ears and opens our blind eyes, so that we stand amazed at God's love and mercy and favour toward us. And we come and sing with John Newton, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Well, may God give us the evidence of spiritual life, so that we may then rejoice to believe that we are on the way to glory. And one day, by his grace, we shall be found in the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, as we read such a statement, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. May we be able to confirm that we are converted and that we have become as a little child, and therefore by the grace of God we shall enter in to the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Fred Ince will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Graham Cottingham next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is number 524, 524. The gospel brings tidings, glad tidings indeed, to mourners in Zion, who want to be freed from sin and from Satan and Mount Sinai's flame. Good news of salvation through Jesus the Lamb. Hymn 524.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.